Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast. I am your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, and welcome to April. Cannot believe we're already here, but here we are. And we're moving on from a great month of civil and business disputes in March with a lot of great content and a lot of new content for the podcast as well, which was fantastic. But this month for April, we are looking at the probate and estate administration process. And most excitingly, in week 4, we are having our first guest on the Vicar Law Podcast, Danielle Phillips from Sage Executor Solutions. So she can help talk to us about estate administration, what people should be doing when they're an administrator or an executor, and how Danielle can help. So I'm super excited about that conversation. That is going to be coming up in the last week of the month. But for today, we are going to talk about probate versus letters of administration. Now, I think it's pretty general, very common that people know that sometimes when somebody has passed away, you need to apply for a grant of probate in the Supreme Court or a grant of letters of administration of the will or a grant of letters of administration on intestacy. So I'll look first at probate and then we'll look at letters of administration. So probate is where there's a valid will, an executor has been named in the will, is applying. It's a fairly straightforward process in that you engage your solicitor, you get a copy of the original will, the original death certificate, you advertise in the Queensland Law Reporter and give a copy of that to the public trustee to let them know that you intend to file your application. You have to give 14 days for somebody to object to the filing, and they can do that by claiming to have an interest. So they file a caveat, or they might be challenging the will in some way. So that needs to be done within the 14 days before you file. And we will be talking about that in May. I think we're looking at estate disputes. But for now, let's just say this is very straightforward. No one's objecting. So after 14 days, you can then apply to the court for the grant of probate. Now, when you get the grant of probate from the court, it basically is saying that the court certifies that this person, the executor, is in charge of administering the will of this person, and it will attach a copy of the will as well. It's a really important document, really important certificate, because what it does, it gives the executor the authority to administer the estate. And there are a number of reasons why you would obtain probate. And particularly when certain assets are involved, but we're going to talk about that next week, actually. But for now, that's basically the process of obtaining probate. It's pretty straightforward, to be honest. The biggest kind of things that might be unusual when you're doing grant of probate is where there's some kind of issue with the will. So if it has some markings, if it's ripped, for example, it may be that it has a particular marking on it, and you just have to explain that essentially to the court. So that can be something that's a bit unusual with a probate, but otherwise, as I said, pretty straightforward process. So letters of administration is a little bit different. So there's two circumstances where you'd apply for letters of administration. The first one is where there is a valid will, but the executor might not be available or might not be willing to administer the will. So quite often you might have somebody that has passed away and their elderly parents or parent has been nominated as their executor, and it's just too much for them to do. So they will renounce and they will appoint somebody else as the executor. This wouldn't be a case where there's a backup in the will. It would be that the executors are unwilling or unavailable, so that the executor is named under the will. And so it's the same process. It's just that it's got a different word called letters of administration, just because it is deviating from the will, although that there is a valid will in place. The more common thing you'll see with letters of administration is where somebody is applying without a will. So this means that somebody hasn't obviously listened to my podcast at all or looked at my social media. They don't have a will and they have died intestate, which means that they've died without a will and the administration of their estate will occur in accordance with the Succession Act and not with their wishes. Very important distinction. So people will often come to me saying who should be applying for the letters of administration. And very conveniently, Rule 603 of the Uniform Civil Procedures Act 1999 will say who has the highest priority. And the person that has the highest priority is the trustee of the residuary estate. So the person that is receiving the benefit of the estate. Now, when you die intestate, you then have to look at, okay, well, who's receiving the benefit? The first person is the spouse, then it's the children, then it's parents, then siblings, then grandparents. I think it's auntie and uncles. I haven't looked at it in a while. I haven't had to go down that far in a while. Aunties, uncles, cousins. That's another one. So you just have to look at the order of priority for that person. So generally, if there's a spouse, that's an easy one. It's the spouse that applies. If there's children involved and those children are minors, you then need to look at getting their guardian to apply on their behalf. And then the next line would be parents. So quite often, if it's a young person that has passed away very unexpectedly, people will come to me, that they haven't got a will and the siblings will want to apply for letters of administration. However, the parent or parents that are alive actually have the highest priority. So we have to do a renunciation for them. So it really is a discussion that is involved, but really it's dictated by the rules of the court. Otherwise, when you are applying for letters of administration, it's actually very similar to probate. So you're doing the advertisement, the Queensland Law Reporter, you're letting the public trustee know, you're waiting the designated 14 days, and then you're making the application in the Supreme Court. When you get the letters of administration, it then says that the person who has applied, so the administrator, they have the authority to administer the deceased's estate. A lot of the time, it's quite interesting because if people have done estate planning and they have a will and they don't have a lot of assets, like they might have super, couple of bank accounts, usually we might not need to apply for grant of probate, right? It's very clear their super's nominated to the correct person and it's not really needed. But what I'm finding when people are passing away without a will and looking at letters of administration and they don't have kind of that dependent, no spouse, no children, super won't talk to them, life insurance won't talk to them, banks won't talk to them. And then they have to wait to go through this process to be able to get the documentation that says they have the authority and access those funds. So it is much better, as if you're a regular listener, you would have heard me say 1,000 times, it's much better to have a will. It's such an easy process. When people come to me, you know, looking at letters of administration, they're usually in distress because they're trying to piece together this person's life, what they have, what they need to do. If you have people that are estranged, it makes it even more complex, really. So it's really important that you get a will. I do both of these services at Vicar Law. So I do a grant of probate and a grant of letters of administration. I can help you prepare those documents, do the advertisement and get that going. And then we also can talk about, you know, what is required after those next steps. Now, interestingly, I'm recording this podcast slightly before April, but the end of March 2025. And at this point in time, the current time frame for waiting for a grant of probate and a grant of letters of administration is 10 to 12 weeks, up to 3 months. So we generally say that advertising process and then the filing process can usually take 3 to 4 weeks, you know, by the time we do it and wait the requisite time. And then you've got another 10 to 12 weeks coming as well, which to me is crazy. At the end of last year, it was actually around 4 to 6 weeks, and I would generally get them around that 4 week mark unless there was something problematic. But having to wait now up to 3 months is crazy. So that is why I highly recommend that you do look at getting your will done. So at least there's a plan in place and things like super could be accessed in many cases without the need for probate. So I hope that has given you a nice overview today of probate versus letters of administration. Next week, I'm actually going to discuss whether or not you need to apply for probate and letters of administration. And honestly, it really does depend on the person's estate. So that is a good, really good follow-up for you to listen to next week. As usual, you are welcome to book a free consultation on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au. I also have a lot of information there about probate, letters of administration, estate administration. So if you are in the mix at the moment, it's a great resource for you. So my website, again, www.vicarlaw.com.au. Thank you so much for listening today. I really enjoyed talking about this. People think I'm weird because I'm talking about people dying all the time, but not in a creepy way, I think, in a way that I, you know, want to make sure everyone's wishes are followed. So thank you so much for listening. Please like, share this podcast, and I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.